All right. Well, good evening, everybody. Pastor Shane asked me if I wanted to share the word here, and it's kind of funny with the message that we're going to be talking about tonight is the word. It's the characteristics of the word of God. Did everybody get a chance to get a handout when they first came in? It's the same one as last week. If you got last week's, if not, raise your hand and Gene will hook you up. There's fill in the blank, so if you don't have one, make sure you got one. Because if you're not filling in the blanks, I'm going to ask you why. All right, so when Shane gave me this opportunity to come up here and talk about the Word, talk about the characteristics of the Word of God, you know, he gave me some... You know, I was thinking maybe one page, two pages. He gave me like eight or nine pages worth of notes. Said keep it within a half hour. So this may be a two-weeker, just so you know up front. But I started doing my own research also. Started doing my own research on characteristics of the Word of God. And there are so many things out there that are adjectives, I guess, of the Word of God. What is the Word of God, right? But the things that we're going to cover in this chapter right here in the Word of God, the key areas that we're going to talk about are, you know, that the Word of God is incorruptible. It's living and powerful. It will never pass away. It is the power of God, and it will never return to us void. So those are kind of the things that we're going to talk about in here, but there's so many other things that are kind of, some of them are covered in here, some of them aren't. Maybe if we have time at the end of this, this week or next week, I'll kind of go over some of the other ones that I found online and through studies and stuff like that that were pretty good. There's not a word out. There's not a whole lot of words out there when you're explaining what God is that doesn't really just hit home, and they're great words to use. So, characteristics of the Word. What is the Word? So I want to start this off with, obviously the book of John, right? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God, right? Or the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word, right? The Word is, that's everything, the Word. Looking at 1 Peter, 1:25-23, tell you what, why don't you go ahead and stand while we read this real quick. Okay, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall away, but the word of God, of the word of the Lord, endures forever. Yes. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you.
Yes.
You may be seated. Thank you. Okay, so as Christians, right, as Christians, we've all been born again, okay? We are sinners saved by grace. So if you're following along, that's your first fill-in right there. So we are sinners, right? We're saved by the grace. We're saved by grace. Because we have all received new life in Christ, we should be motivated to live, to please God, to obey the truth, to keep ourselves pure, and to love our Christian brothers and sisters. You know, when we're new in Christ, when we don't have Christ in our life, but especially even when we're new in Christ, that's kind of a tough one to really swallow is, you know, the love your Christians like brothers or Christian brothers and sisters. You know, we know we're Christians. We know we're going to be spending a whole lot of time together, right? And spend a long time together, so we may as well get to love each other. But still, we struggle with that. I think it's, as we really understand what that means to love your brother and your sisters, you know, once you start to learn that, it changes the way you look at things a lot of times, the way you look at people. You know, you may still have people that, you know, that you struggle, you know, somebody maybe you don't want to go hang out with all the times, things like that, but you still love them. You still love who they are. You still care for them. You still want them to continue to grow in Christ because we're always growing, right? So that's kind of a tough one for some folks, but Boy, that's such an important one because, you know, we've talked about it in our men's groups and our men's studies. And but if you don't have that love for other Christian brothers and sisters, and not just brothers and sisters in Christ, but everybody, right? If we don't have that love for them, then it puts hatred in our heart, and hatred just sits there and sours, and it draws us away from Christ. You know, it just kind of gets right in the way every single time, it seems like. Okay? The change that took place in our lives as we were saved by His grace is eternal. Right? It's not one of those that these changes are you know, they don't last for now. They don't last until we're, you know, laying in a hospital bed. They're forever. They're eternal. Not just here, but for eternal. Okay? As we move towards purity and holiness, we will eventually reach the end goal. Our new birth was not of perishable seed, just like it says up there, meaning of human origin, so that we will one day wither and die. Rather, of new birth originated from imperishable seed, described as living and enduring Word of God.
Amen.
Right? So what we're saying there is, you know, we're not born, you know, we're humans, right? There's no question about that. We're not, with Christ in our hearts, we're more than humans at this point, right? We are the child of Christ. We are the children of God. So it's, you know, one day that, you know, this body will obviously decay and it'll go back to the earth and become food for little critters or whatever it might be. But we're not going to be there, right? That's our flesh. Our flesh will one day, you know, wither away and move on, but we will be able to celebrate and continue to live that eternal life with Christ. Okay, the contrast between perishable and imperishable is the key phrase in verse 23 and 25 that we talked about up there. Our lives and earthly pursuits are transitory. Okay, only the Word is eternal. And that's what that's really saying up there is, you know, the things that we talk about, the things that Shane talks about here up here at the pulpit, or the things anybody else talks about up here, the things that you read online, the things you see online, that's all temporary stuff, right? That's transitional stuff. That's not that eternal that we're looking for, that we've been promised that we're going to have with that love of Christ in our hearts. Okay, God's Word lives and endures forever because God, who gave it, lives and endures from eternity past and eternity future, right? Forever and ever. He's the same today as He was yesterday and is tomorrow, right? So forever and ever. In Isaiah 46 through 8, Peter reminded believers that everything in this life, possessions, accomplishments, people, will eventually fade away and disappear. All flesh refers to every person, all human existence. Just like the grasses and flowers bloom for the season, then wither and fall, all of this life will also one day pass. Right? Everything here, everything that we know, everybody we know, one day will pass or be raptured, which would be lovely also. Right, but it will one day pass, and we will have that eternal with God. Glory refers to all earthly attainments. Only God's will, word, and works are permanent. Okay, we are mortal, but God's word is eternal and unfailing. Okay. That's another one that you got to write down in there if you're taking the notes in the pamphlet there. Has God ever been wrong? No. Have we thought God was wrong and realized really quickly, okay, God, yeah, it's me. Yeah, right? More than I like to admit sometimes. But God is unfailing. God does not fail. God is always, He knows what He's doing. Even when we question that. Nope. Sure does. And Shane said he doesn't make junk, and that's absolutely true. Peter's readers would face suffering and persecution, but that would only be temporary. You know, if you read through some of the scriptures, you know, there's a lot of things that they went through. I mean, even Jesus, there's a lot of things that He went through. Dying on the cross for us, that's temporary. That's all temporary. to get to the glory, right? To get to spend that eternal life. As the word of the Lord endures forever, so our salvation and subsequent eternal glory will endure forever. Okay, so the next, that's talking about into that one. That's where we get into to where the word of God is incorruptible. So now we're going to talk a little bit more. We're going to talk about living and powerful. So in Hebrews 4:12, it talks about the word of the word is living and powerful. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is discerned of the thoughts and intents of our heart. Okay. So the word is living and powerful. You know, that's, I think for me, and I'll read some more of this here in a minute, but I think for me, that's when I think of it being living and powerful. That's why when I read scripture and Shane reads scripture and Mary reads scripture and Shirey reads scripture, it depends on the day of what that scripture means to me or means to you, right? You can read the same verse today and then read the same verse 2 weeks from now, and it could have a slightly different meaning in your heart, right? And that's because it's living, right? It's fresh every day, right? And it smacks you right up across the head when it needs to.
Yeah.
Right? Absolutely does. Okay, we may fool ourselves and other Christians with our spiritual lives, but we cannot deceive God. That's, you know, for those of us that, well, for all of us, right, that try every day to please God. We try every day to try to be that light around the people that we know, and the people, especially people that aren't Christians in their heart, people that haven't accepted Christ yet. You know, we try to be that light around there, but it's more than trying to be a light. You've got to be that light, because you're only fooling yourself if not, because God knows. God knows what's in your heart. You can fool everybody else, but He always knows what's in our heart, good and bad. He knows who we really are, because the Word of God is living and powerful. Does this word refer to Jesus or to Scripture? Well, Jesus Christ is called the Word in John 1:1, which we read earlier, who came as God's ultimate communication to humanity. The comparison with the sharp sword indicates that the Word of God here more likely refers to God's revelation in the Bible. Only in the Gospel of John 1:1 and in Revelation 19:13 is Jesus called the Word. The Word of God penetrates through our outer facet and reveals what lies deep inside. And that's kind of what I was saying earlier, right? That where you can read it today and tomorrow and 2 weeks from now, and it might have slightly a different meaning in your heart. You know, the scripture doesn't change. The scripture is the same. But how that scripture lays on our heart, it can change. And that's why, right? Because it penetrates to the core of our moral and spiritual lives. Okay. The metaphor of the two-edged sword pictures the Word of God like a knife, revealing who we really are inside. It discerns what is in us, both good and evil. Like I said, it penetrates to the core of our moral and spiritual lives. The two-edged sword pictures the sharp, short sword that Roman soldiers used in close combat. I looked this up because I was kind of curious what the Roman soldiers used for a two-edged sword. And I was really hoping I had something in the closet that revealed that, but I didn't, because I was going to bring that down and use that as a demonstration. But I didn't have that, so I apologize. No, it's close to that, but the ones that I found online that the Romans used were a little shorter.
Little short dagger.
Yeah, 12, maybe 12, 14 inches. So a little shorter than that one there, but same thing, that double-edged sword, right? The sword's double-edged makes it ideal for cut and thrust warfare. The word of God, sharper than a two-edged sword, pierces even to the division of our soul and spirit and joints and marrow, is what Scripture says. These words develop the metaphor. They are not a commentary on people's psychological or spiritual makeup. Nothing can be hidden from God. Neither can we hide from ourselves if we sincerely study the Word of God. So what that's saying is if you have those demons that you deal with every day, and you know, most of us do. Most of us have those ones that always are right there. The devil's right there, right? Evil's always right there to try to draw you away, right? Those ones, if you're into the Word, if you're into the Word of God and you're reading the Word of God and you're listening and talking with the Word of God, then it pushes those things out, right? It's putting on that armor. It reaches deep past our outer life as the knife passes through skin. It delves deep into our inner lives and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. D.L. Moody said, and I quote, the scriptures were not given to increase our knowledge, but to change our lives. I think that's a big one because, you know, I'll be the first one to tell you, and I know there's many of us up here that we've talked about it, even our men's studies and things like that, how do you memorize these things, right? How does Shane memorize Scripture? How does Shane memorize these things? You know, it makes a lot of us feel really, really stupid when he does that sometimes because we can't memorize our own names sometimes. But that's not what Scripture's for. Scripture's not to make us look smart. Scripture's not to make us, you know, look better than the next person, right? It's made to change our lives, right? If we're looking at Scripture, we may not memorize Scripture right out the gate, but eventually as Scripture, the Lord's going to put that in our head, you know, whether it's just by the more and more we read through the Word, or, you know, it's, you know, just the times that we've spent reading the Word. And then even in those moments when you don't even realize that you remembered that Scripture, all of a sudden, boom, there it is. And it's coming right out of your mouth because Christ is putting it there.
Yeah, the Scripture says that the Holy Spirit will bring it to our remembrance.
Yep. Shane said the Scripture says the Holy Spirit will bring it to us. So it's absolutely that. Okay, getting into the next section. Now we're going to talk about the Word will never pass away.
Amen.
Okay, if we look through Luke 21:33, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Okay, everything may change and eventually everything will pass away. I mean, that's Scripture. That's what it says in Scripture. But one truth is absolutely eternally certain. Jesus' word will by no means pass away. Everything he said will come true. Political trends come and go. Office seekers, keep a close watch on each day's opinion polls. Fashions have a very short life expectancy. A life savings can be lost or squandered just like that. Music groups, right? We've got a wide variety of ages in here, right? Music groups and other entertainers are the rage one day and forgotten the next. Every certainty that the world values... Every certainty that the world values so highly is temporal at best, right? So all those things, there's, you know, it's, well, I read on the Google box yesterday, reading about Toby Keith passing away, you know, for those of us that grew up listening to country music around here and, you know, in the 90s and 2000s, especially after 9/11, 2001, Toby Keith was, yeah, he was a voice out there, right? Some of his songs that he came out with really represented our troops and represented our country and the feeling of a lot of people in our country. So, you know, it's, but we don't we don't idolize Toby Keith. Toby Keith was a voice at the moment, right? He was a voice for that patriotism that a lot of us were seeking at the time, things like that. But we don't idolize Toby Keith. We idolize God, and we thank God for putting Toby Keith, for giving him those gifts and giving him that opportunity to celebrate that and help motivate our troops and help motivate our country and bring patriotism back to the front on that. But that's another one of those. And I don't know where Toby Keith's spirituality was, but you know, I sure hope he knew Christ. I really do. So contrast with Jesus' words, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. In your beliefs, values, and philosophy of life, if your beliefs, values, and philosophies of life are not based on Christ's supremacy and his authoritative word, you are headed for eventual collapse. Right? And that's absolute. If, you know, and I know we all know people in our lives, we know folks that they fight with this. They fight with wanting to get to know Christ for what one reason or the other, right? And it just it breaks our hearts as Christians, right? It makes us sad. It breaks our hearts that these people, especially if they're people that we love in our lives, whether it's family or friends, you know, so it's kind of a tough spot, but it's, you know, keep working on them. Let's see. Shane, I'm going to hold off right here if you're good with that. And then next week I'm going to come back and hit the next two sections of this and then a little bit more on my stuff that I found, if you're okay with that. Okay. All right. So where do we get? We got through sections A, B, and C in your pamphlet. Sorry we didn't have a whole lot to highlight and see. But there's really not a whole lot other than the word will never pass away. You know, highlight that, underline that, circle that, but that's all we got to say about that one, right? It's here. It's here to stay. It's here forever. Eternity. Okay? You want to close that or you want me to? Okay. So let me close that in prayer. Lord God, thank you so much for this night, Lord, and thank you for this community, Lord, for this house, Lord, for everything it is that you do for us, Lord. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for this word that's been a test of time, Lord. It's been tried, it's been tested, Lord. It's been put to every test that you could think of, Lord. It's been put there and it's came out just showing how powerful this word is, Lord, and how important it is to us, Lord, and how important it is to teach us, Lord, and to help us change our lives, Lord, to know who you are and to learn all the ways that we could get involved and be empowered, Lord, through you to bring people to you, Lord, and to bring our families and our friends and our neighbors and our community, Lord, and even the people we don't know, Lord, the people at the grocery store when we're in line, Lord. We just thank you for those, Lord. We thank you for being in our hearts, Lord. We thank you for the Holy Spirit and putting that in us, Lord, to where we have that ability to speak up even when, boy, that's not something I would have done, but I did it. Lord, we just thank you for those moments, Lord. And we pray for moments like those, Lord. We pray for more and more moments like those that we can honor you, Lord, and we can celebrate who you are to other people and teach them and have them understand who you are so they want to get that hunger, Lord, to learn who you are, Lord, and to be a child of Christ, Lord. And we just thank you so much, Lord. We just, like Shane said earlier, we pray for the folks that need healing, Lord. We pray for continued healing for people in this church, Lord, for our folks in here and the folks in this community, Lord. And we pray that you keep just growing in this community, Lord, in this county, in this state, and in this country, Lord, and just keep putting people out in front, Lord, to be able to share who you are. And we just thank you for everything that you do for us. In Jesus' holy, holy name, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
All right, people online, thank you so much for joining us. And we will see you guys on, well, men, we'll see you Saturday morning. Women and men, we'll see you Sunday morning.